Rough shape finished. Draft finished. We have a complete manuscript with all our scenes and sequels. We're ready to prep for publication, aren't we? No, not yet. Now is the time to check that everything is working. We're not going to send the manuscript out until then. We will learn our craft for each step we learn that makes the next manuscript better and the next one better and faster. What do we do next? Pacing. What's pacing? This episode will help. Welcome to The Right Focus. We cover productivity, process, craft, and tools. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. All through the summer months, we focus on the craft of writing novels and novellas and epics, from beginning ideas to prepping for publication, week by week by week. The best way to judge pacing is to use the archetypal story structure, which I call ASP, A-S-P. We have all heard of plot points with their pinches, the seven parts of a story, Freytag's pyramid, Aristotle's dramatic structure, and Shakespeare's play structure. We may have worked with Skin the Cat. We may have found a list of tropes common to our genres and are madly trying to figure out how to put each one into our novels. Stop. Just stop. Tropes don't build a story. Tropes enhance a scene. The archetypal story pattern has been used since prehistoric man sat around a fire and entertained listeners with stories of the day's hunt. Every myth of the Occidental culture follows ASP. Many of the Oriental cultures use the same pattern. The fairy tales of our childhood align with the 12 stages of ASP. Blocking every major scene based on the ASP helps the writer in us comprehend the interlocking parts. If we want to write a good story, use ASP. Devote a pattern to each primary, especially if we have double protagonist. For a strong, constantly interacting antagonist, we will have three patterns, our two protagonists and our single antagonist. We may decide to cut some scenes as we go along. That's our choice as we draft. We still need to plan for them. Don't forget our earlier lessons, though. Many books have been written about ASP, also known as the hero's journey or the hero's story arc. We also have the alternative, the heroine's journey. Joseph Campbell's monomyth, in his examination Hero with a Thousand Faces, delves deeply into the pattern for which ASP is taken. The book that's most accessible for writers is Christopher Vogler's The Writer's Journey. Both works draw from Carl Jung's work on archetypes, and Carl Jung must have been dependent on George Frazier's The Golden Bough. My teenage self seriously tried to read The Golden Bough before giving up. I highly recommend Vogler's work for the writing reference shelf. Campbell's work, maybe. Our job is to work through ASP, determining which of our scenes fit a stage. These scenes are on our tack board. Match these scenes with the related sequels to the ASP stages. Here are the bare bones meaning for each ASP stage. The explanation will look simplistic, I know. It's not. Listen carefully. Understand how to apply each part of the arc's explanation to the character who is providing the scene's viewpoint. Remember, we create an ASP arc for each primary character. Several scenes will develop a stage. To know where we are in the long draft of the novel gives us necessary encouragement. Even when we feel mucked up to our knees, we can see what needs to happen and commit to driving through the mire. Not all writing days are mucky mire. Most are pure joy. Celebrate those days. Scene blocking is only a guide. Our creative muse can venture off on a new trail that's inspired by the ASP stages. When we stray too far from the path, we can return to these trail places. Overriding, especially by following other plot guides, can chain our muse. We should be willing to abandon everything and just write, especially if we find ourselves missing a stage entirely. For each stage, consider which one will best fit the original vision of your story. The opening triad stages of the ASP belong to the story segment, separation and departure. The primary character is forced to leave home after separation. She or he is often filled with simmering hostility or burgeoning anxiety long into the middle stages. Departures are never undertaken lightly. No hints exist to reveal whether return is imminent or even possible. Fatalistic characters expect doom. Rosy idealists blur reality until the blinders are ripped away. Optimist, pessimist, or realist cynic, all will drive against the obstacles beyond the loss of hope. Stage 1. Ordinary World. Ordinary World starts with the first moment of trouble, the first moment when normal skews off direction. Often called the narrative hook, the ordinary world opens with the normal so readers will understand the extent of the disruption. This disruption will lead to the protagonist's transformation. When we start with the antagonist, consider the ordinary world that the antagonist wants and is acting to cause. Stage 2, Call to Adventure. In the Call to Adventure, also known as the C2A, a deep-seated personality trait will drive our character to step away from the crowd and seek the adventure. Whether protector, defender, a trickster, or a shadow element unforeseen until this moment, this trait will motivate our character to react to the disruption of the ordinary world. Dynamic characters act when everyone around them either waits passively or reacts unthinkingly. Originality in our stories start with our opening sentence. The C2A seals our commitment to offer a story worth the reader's monetary and time investment. Stage 3, Refusal of the Call, R-R-O-C. The refusal of the call, born in the C2A, portends the character's isolation from the home group of the ordinary world. The trait that drove the C2A reaction also drives the R-O-C. No one seeks true isolation from the people who offer love and a sense of belonging. Remember, Maslow's hierarchy of needs will often inform us about our characters. The character could not prevent her or his reaction in the C2A, but can valiantly fight against the consequences. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle first understood that true protagonists become isolated from those around them. Isolation causes mistakes in logical thinking. Love and belonging needs can only be fulfilled for people by people. Pets can partly fulfill the need, but not wholly, even though I love Bosco. The opening triad gives a glimmer of the true conflict. The protagonist confronts the first obstacle. The sacrifice of something dear, usually an illusory desire, is necessary to drive any character into willful isolation. The bulk of the story belongs to the middle stages, are the two triads of initiation and descent and departure. The first three stages form the initiation. The second three are the descent and departure. Initiation determines if the character is worthy enough for this venture. Many people are not worthy. They lack what the business world calls the soft skills, reliability and efficiency, diligence, problem solving, presence when needed, ability to communicate and work with others, adaptability and creativity, and leadership. These 10 soft skills often determine long-term success. The protagonist has these skills or quickly learns them. This sets her or him apart from the many who are not worthy. The descent is a life-threatening venture, whether that threatened life is physical, professional, or psychological, which, remember, James Scott Bell told us. In the rush to the next stages, writers often neglect the departure. How will the character cope with isolation and difficulties? Anticipation never meets reality. We are more than physical beings. Delve into the emotional, intellectual, and spiritual spheres of the character. The departure is as figurative as it is literal. The protagonist leaves the old perspective and starts the venture into the new one. Whether the change comes through an actual journey or a metaphysical quest undertaken while still at home, the protagonist leaves the old desired deer, now destroyed, and pursues the destruction of the deer's destroyer. Stage 4 is meeting with the mentor. Meeting with the mentor starts the 6 stages that form the bulk of the ASP and the bulk of any manuscript. You can have a lot of fun with the different kinds of mentors. Here are just 10. Guiding Sibyl, Riddling Oracle, Scary Crone, Wizened Wizard, Mysterious Hermit, Insane Recluse, Fanatic Prophet, Skilled Veteran, Aged Sage, Wounded Expert. The mentor's advice can be confusing, working in symbolic metaphors or multi-part complexity. A mentor can teach or serve as a font of wisdom when joining the adventure. Those whose simplistic advice might be dismissed will eventually be discovered as wisely prescient. Stage 5, crossing the first threshold. While the opening conflict merely hinted at the antagonist, in the fifth stage, crossing the first threshold, the true conflict is now comprehended as so much more than anticipated. Whether through the early sacrifice of the illusory desired deer or a comprehension that no one else could confront the struggles, the protagonist continues on through the first threshold. This understanding comes after the reactive encounter with the antagonist. From this point on, the protagonist must become active. Stage 6, Test Allies and Enemies. Seemingly simple, Test Allies and Enemies covers a massive amount of ground. When story drags through sloggy slime, readers may abandon it and never return. Originality drives Test Allies and Enemies. Deliver the most creativity in this extended stage through betrayals and shapeshifters, always holding the chiefest of these in reserve, surprises to characters, plot twist, and unexpected consequences, fence and riposte, the test will gradually unveil allies and enemies. Avoid alternating sequences. Not all enemies are minions of the antagonist. Confirming allies is as important as discovering enemies. Between the TAE and the next stage, called the Approach to the Inmost Cave, is the center of the ASP, but in the book, it's the 60% mark. Stage 7, Approach to the Inmost Cave. Well, the Inmost Cave is the lair of the antagonist. Discovering its location is as difficult as the approach to it. Caves are guarded in unexpected ways, and the guaranteed assault on those who approach will hit at the four layers of the individual: physical, first layer; intellectual, emotional, and spiritual, deepest. The death of a loved one is a greater struggle than healing after a physical injury. An assault that exploits doubts is more wrenching than the collapse of a well-crafted plan. Stage 8 is the ordeal, also known as the dark moment. We're at the 75% mark of any manuscript. Here is the long-awaited mano-a-mano battle between the protagonist and the antagonist. The darkness is the lack of hope for the primary character going into that battle. The protagonist is sustained by those same skills and allies and lessons learned since the meeting with the mentor. But those skills and allies and lessons mean nothing against the antagonist. What keeps this character still strong, still struggling, even when overwhelming odds should crush? The answer is the very personality trait introduced in the ordinary world. Imprisonment is a type of escape because it delays death. Stage 9 is the reward. In the ordeal, we left the character in extremities. The ninth stage, the reward, is the unexpected save, for a true dear desire replaces the illusory one sacrificed at the C2A. Whether protagonist stumbles upon the means of escape or remembers the seemingly insignificant detail given by a misunderstood mentor or a shapeshifter form, that insignificant detail will cripple or kill the antagonist, and the reward allows the venture to proceed with success. Nothing is ever again as dark as the ordeal. Return and Reintegration deals with the last stages of the ASP. The final triad reveals the transformation of the protagonist. The antagonist remains static. Should the protagonist not return to the ordinary world, we, the readers, would not truly comprehend changes. Reintegration with the ordinary world requires that the protagonist with allies and the true dear desire return to their ordinary world to resume their normal existence. In this, we see how someone ordinary conquered an extraordinary challenge. The characters do not return to their former behaviors. Too much change has occurred. Yet we readers want to anticipate life beyond the novel's pages. Stage 10 is the road back. The antagonist may have not been defeated at stages 8 and 9, although the antagonist can seem to be defeated. The brighter that the road back is, the darker the next stage will be. The road back is still packed with trials, twists, and betrayals. In the plot 7, the betrayal can occur before the ordeal, during it, or here at the 10th stage. What would keep a hidden shapeshifter waiting to reveal their true purpose until after the antagonist is seemingly defeated? Well, the protagonist is weakened by betrayal. A sudden defeat will allow the resurrected antagonist in the next stage to threaten the protagonist one last time. Stage 11, the resurrection of the evil. We're at the 85 to 90% mark of the novel. The antagonist might return. A strong minion who could potentially become an even stronger antagonist could challenge the protagonist. An undefeated shapeshifter, revealed in stage 10, dealt with in this stage, could assault your primary character. Whatever evil is resurrected, its attack is surprising, ruthlessly shocking, and merciless. The last deaths occur here, and not just of the forces of antagonism. Stage 12, the final stage, is called Return with the Elixir. An elixir is a restorative potion of the gods. It's better than nectar, which is the gods' usual drink. This stage proves the protagonist is extraordinary, even though the protagonist will seem as ordinary as before. Triumph has two effects, arrogance and humility. People who win by chance become arrogant because they believe fate is on their side, with a juggernaut of success attending them. People who struggle to overcome understand the cost, and they know how thinly edged is the sword that cuts victory from defeat. I'll provide a link to a printable ASP chart, as well as links to the works mentioned during the course of this episode. Now we're done, right? Well, yes and no. First, we let the manuscript rest. We may have had to do a lot of writing this week in order to fill out those stages that we merely glanced at. Once we have that writing done, we need to let the juices flow in and settle around our manuscript. We need to give our brain some objective distance. That's the goal of the next weeks, ourself as a writer and our writing business, then our writing space and our writing calendar. As we move into the future, we know all the problems that we've had and we're going to solve them in these coming weeks. Then it's the double D, designers and deadlines, before we reach harvesting. Inspiration this week comes from Winston Churchill, who said, writing a book was an adventure. To begin with, it was a toy, an amusement. Then it became a mistress, then a master, and then a tyrant. And that's what I discover every time I launch into a manuscript. I love to play with it at the very beginning. And then I'm enthralled and obsessed with it. Finally, the story starts taking over and starts driving me forward. And I can't stop, no matter what I do. It's the tyrant taking charge of the manuscript. Thanks for listening to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes from Writers, Inc. Books. All through the summer months, our focus is the craft of writing. We are discovering your novel from beginning idea to prepping for publication. We'll work through the process stages of foundations to story, envisioning the story, analyzing story before, during, and after the draft, harvesting the story through revisions and enhancements, and prepping the story for publication. Many of these preps and guides are useful setups for the National Novel Writing Month in November. That's writing only, you know, no idea work. We can also use this information to solve issues with stories that we've abandoned. All those stories are crying in the wilderness. Time to rescue them with the right focus. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Remember, whatever occurs, write on.